Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 114, the first four verses. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. 1 through 4 of 114.
Thank you.
The scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Genesis, thereof the 41st chapter, beginning with verse 37 to the end. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Genesis chapter 41, beginning with verse 37 to the end. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a golden chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And a dearth was in all the lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty creator of the heavens and of the earth and upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we cannot take one breath. We are completely dependent upon thee. And in thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness to us, unworthy sinners, we may again enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy everlasting, faithful testimony of thy precious word that thou hast given unto us and to our children, the precious word of God. And in thy word we have heard also in this morning law and gospel. And Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would bless thy word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners become sinners, lost sinners, guilty sinners. Oh, that we may see by the mirror of thy law before us, not only knowing the law in our minds, but that we may see our sin, that we sin against thee, a holy, a just God, who can by no means clear the guilty. And we are guilty because we have forsaken thee in paradise, but we also sin against thee every day, known unto thee all our sins, and they're written in a book. O Lord, we beg and pray thee, we all know this truth, but may this truth come to a reality that there's an urgency, that there's that true confession of sin unto thee, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And that we may flee away from sin, that we may hate sin, and that we may love righteousness. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work that true grace in the hearts of sinners, make them alive, and give that true gift of repentance, but also of faith. Lord, thy word, we read in it that thy word is the means to faith, the hearing of thy word. Oh, we beg thee then today, when thy word may be proclaimed throughout the world, but also here in Cortland, that thou would richly bless it. Bless the law and the gospel, and that through thy word, that it may be the working of true saving faith in the hearts of boys, of girls, of teenagers, of adults, older ones. Oh, may there be that true godly sorrow worked in us by thy Holy Spirit, that we see that we sin against thee, a good-doing God, that there may be that true fruit of godly sorrow, that we sin against thee, against all thy goodness, and thou hast richly blessed us, not only with all things for our life upon this earth, but thou hast also, in thy mercy and goodness and providence, separated us from thousands upon this earth who know not the truth, who have not thy word. And Lord, we are no better, but thou hast made a difference. Oh, may we see it, may we feel it, that we sin against also all thy goodness. Lord, we beg and pray thee, show us through thy word also of that great unspeakable gift that thou hast given, that thou hast sent into this world, thy own dear beloved Son, of whom thy word testifies that thou hast said, in him I am well pleased. Thou can look upon him and see that perfect image of thyself, of pureness, righteousness, holiness, no sin. And yet we read in thy word that it pleased thee to bruise him, to put him to death. And Lord, last week in thy house we heard that thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked. O Lord, wilt thou bring those truths by the power of the Holy Spirit into hearts, that hearts would break, that we become guilty, lost, bowing before thee, and also out of the dust, looking up unto thee, adoring thee, truly worshiping thee for such unspeakable riches and graces through thee, through a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for such wretches. O Lord, we heard it also in this past week that there is plenteous redemption. O, we beg thee, Lord, apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the truth of thy word may bring into the hearts, enlightened minds, renew hearts, that sinners would be born again, but also that poor guilty sinners may be drawn unto thee. Oh, give that faith that we come to an end in everything in self, but that faith that may be given and that it may be an exercise to look outside of self unto him. Oh, that there may be comfort for comfortless sinners, that there may be heard through thee by thy grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there is forgiveness of sin through him who is greater than Joseph, who is and who has said, I am the bread of life. Lord, thou knowest how we all have come into thy house in this morning. Thou knowest those who are hungry, thirsty, who can find nothing to feed their souls, to give true peace, to bring to the place of reconciliation with thee, a God that we have sinned against. Lord, they can find nothing anymore. O Lord, we beg thee, give them an ear to hear. Open their blind eyes and reveal thyself and who thou art through thy Son. O Lord, wilt thou give that there may be bread for hungry ones? O, we beg thee, Lord, draw sinners unto thyself, and give those hands of faith to be reached out, and that thou would give that bread to feed them, that only bread, that living bread that gives life, eternal life, and life in abundance that nothing else can give us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. Remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Lord, show them their sin, how guilty they are, how serious their state is, without God, without a Savior, lost, and to die lost, then it will be eternally lost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come, renew hearts, open eyes to see who they are, who thou art, and lead and show and reveal that only Savior. Lord, we beg thee, do it for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. May thy kingdom come, but also for the eternal welfare of sinners. Oh, may thy kingdom come to thee through the foolishness of preaching. And Lord, thou hast not called angels, thou hast called sinful men. Oh, wilt thou help them, all thy servants, throughout the entire world, each one, Lord, also in our denomination, care for each one. Give, Lord, that we may speak the truth. Thus saith the Lord, death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, may we lay before thee all those who are mourning, also the Van Leeuwen family, who stood around an open grave of one of a dear father, a father-in-law, a grandfather, a dear husband. Lord, we remember them. Sanctify this calling to their hearts and to us. Remember all widows, widowers, all those who have lost children, a sibling. Lord, remember each one, a friend. Give comfort. Give it only comfort, Lord. And sanctify the callings that come unto us through thy word and through the acts of thy providence, that we must be prepared to meet thee, that we have no continuing city here below, and that we could die at any moment. Oh, show us as we read in thy word that the axe is at the root, and at any moment thou would cut us down, and where the tree lies, then it will lie. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, prepare us and our children by thy grace. Renew hearts and teach and lead and guide unto that only precious Savior. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, may the law be a schoolmaster to bring us unto him, that we may be justified by that precious gift of faith, that gift of thee. Oh, that we may be united unto him, and may we see in him is everything. Oh, what lessons for sinners to be stripped, to become lost, become dead in everything in self, to have absolutely nothing, and to come as an ungodly one. Oh, Lord, wilt thou draw sinners, and that they may make haste, and that they may run after thee, and that thou would feed them with the bread of life. Lord, remember all those who are sick and afflicted. Care for each one with all the cares and the needs for the body and for the mind. And Lord, we ask thee to remember also in a special way Mr. Aaron Stubby, who had emergency surgery. Lord, remember him. Bring him home. Give him full recovery. And remember him for body and for soul. And Lord, may this affliction be a blessing, that he may see that he does not only have a need for his body, but that he has a greater need for a greater disease of sin, and that thou would show him and teach him of that great physician who is the only one who can heal and make whole of all our sin. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would then give that throughout the world, as thy word may be proclaimed, that among Jew and Gentile, that thy kingdom may come. And Lord, thou hast promised that they will come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west. Thou wilt gather, thou who art that good shepherd, who will seek and who will save, and there be one flock. And oh, we beg thee, Lord, may us and our children be part of that blessed flock. Oh, give us no rest, that we may only rest when we may upon good grounds, by the testimony of thy Holy Spirit and word, be resting in that only place under thy wings, in that shelter of him who is that rock, who is that place from the well-deserved wrath, because thy wrath has fell upon him and he has taken it all upon him. O Lord, show us then that righteousness that we need to cover us, and show us that blood that can cleanse us from all sin. Lord, we beg thee, bless all mission work among Jew and Gentile. And we ask especially, again, we beg thee, remember also thy word that may be proclaimed in Bolivia. Bless it to those people, that many may be born again. And Lord, help all those who proclaim thy word in truth. Help all thy servants. Remember especially Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers, and their families. And Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou also Provide also a church worker for Bolivia, but also a man to be called who knows thy grace, also to be called by thee to be working in Peru. Lord, wilt thou provide? It's thy work. Bless thy word richly then, also throughout this nation, and also locally, and in prisons, and among children. Lord, may thy kingdom come. Help us, Lord, to live with one purpose, and we confess that we're born self-centered, enemies, proud. And Lord, we need to be renewed, and we need our hearts to be inflamed by thy grace, that we would have what we read in thy word, that we would live for thy honor, for thy glory, with love for thee, hatred for sin, and love for each other and for our neighbor. Oh, give us eyes to see that we are perishing sinners and that our neighbors also are perishing, and give faithfulness to share the precious truths of thy word. And so, Lord, we beg thee in this morning, gather with us. Thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together, thou wilt be in the midst. Thou art that faithful one to an unfaithful people. Lord, look upon us in mercy through thy Son, because if thou would look upon us for all our sins and iniquities and transgressions, then thou must cast us away and thou wilt pass us by. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless thy word, gather with us, and have mercy upon us. We pray, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach and to listen. Give prayer, Lord, and look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, and answer us because of him, for thy name and honor and glory, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing from Psalter 368, all five stanzas. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. 368, all five stanzas. And the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the Terre Haute. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, children, why did the Lord give you and me His precious word, a Bible? Well, that's to teach us who you are. That it's a mirror before you to show you all your sin. What else? To show you whom you sin against. That holy, righteous, and just God in heaven who will by no means clear the guilty. But what else? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, also that he would be revealed, we read in John 20, verse 30. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You have a Bible to teach you of yourself, to teach you who God is, but also to show you that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, which can make you wise unto that only way of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 5, verse 37, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You have a Bible, a precious Word of God, to show you yourself who God is, but also especially to reveal that only precious Savior, the whole Word of God, is His history, His story, the story of that precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we will consider a little part of the history of Joseph from Genesis 41. And in that history, there is rich lessons and instruction for poor sinners. But also in that history, there is that one shown through Joseph of one who is that greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit to the regeneration of sinners and to the instruction and the comfort, the admonishment of his dear people. And so I'd like to call your attention what we read in Genesis 41, verse 55. Genesis 41, verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. So far from God's word. The theme is, go to Joseph. 3 points. Go to Joseph when? In a time of famine. Go to Joseph, why? Because he has an abundance. And go to Joseph, how? In obedience to the command. So the theme, go to Joseph. When? In a time of famine. Why? He has an abundance. And how? In obedience to the command. And so with the Lord's help, go to Joseph. When? In a time of famine. I hear something, congregation. I hear someone crying, bow the knee, bow the knee. And you see a man in a chariot. He has a gold chain around his neck. He has a ring on his finger. He's dressed in royal apparel, and he's in a chariot. And this cry goes before him, bow the knee. And you see people, who's in that chariot, children? Who is that man riding through Egypt? That's right. That's Joseph. Joseph's in that chariot. But I thought he was in prison. Yes, he was in prison. He was in jail. But now he has become the second ruler in Egypt, Joseph. And remember in chapter 40, how Joseph had interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler? And Joseph had asked this one man that would be free, when you come before Pharaoh again, remember me. Speak to him on my behalf. And what do we read? In chapter 40, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. We can't trust man. What a lesson. And that man forgot Joseph. Joseph had to wait. He had to wait in the prison. And Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came in his humiliation and then he was exalted. And we see Joseph, that type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went in humiliation before he came to exaltation. Joseph in prison had to wait upon God. The Lord's time is the perfect time. The Lord's time is the most excellent time. And Joseph was in prison. And maybe we don't read that in the Word of God, but maybe Satan was whispering, "Joseph, where is thy God? Joseph, you had such beautiful dreams. Joseph, you think those dreams will ever come true? Where is thy God? Look, you're in jail. You're in prison. Those dreams will never be fulfilled. Where's your God?" What a time of need for Joseph. What a trial for his faith. But the Lord, that faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah, he will not forget his dear children. He will not forget his dear people. He will fulfill the dreams. His word to Joseph, and we read those dreams in Genesis 37, verse 5 through 11. But may I ask you something? Has the Lord spoken a promise specifically to you? Has he spoken in the past a promise to you? And maybe now it seems absolute impossible? Impossible? Instead of going to the fulfillment, it seems to be going backwards. Everything is in contrary to what the Lord has said, to what the Lord has promised. And what grace we need to wait upon him, to trust in all the circumstances that the Almighty God is in control, that he will fulfill his word. What do we read in Numbers 23, verse 19? About that covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. Listen, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? The Lord will fulfill his word, his promise, at his time and in his way. And Joseph is a type of Christ. Remember, humiliation before exaltation. The Lord Jesus Christ was humbled before he was exalted by his Father. And this is the life also of grace. The Almighty God teaches, he renews, and he humbles before he will exalt. And now, 2 years have passed. 2 years have passed. And now we come to chapter 41, and we read that Pharaoh also had two dreams. And none of the magicians, none of those wise men can tell the meaning of his dreams, as we read in verse 1 through 8 in chapter 41. And now at God's time, the chief butler remembers Joseph and informs Pharaoh, as we read in verses 9 through 13 in chapter 41. And then Joseph is quickly called to come to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tells him, "I had dreams. I had two dreams, but no one can tell me the meaning." And he says, as we read in verse 15, "And I heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." Look at Joseph, children, teenagers, look at him. That great monarch says to him, "I know, and I say in my own words, that you have the ability to interpret dreams." Look at Joseph. Does he become proud? Does he become proud before this great monarch? And does he answer, "Yes, Pharaoh"? No, look. Listen to what he says. Verse 16, "It is not of me." It's not of me, Pharaoh. "God shall give Pharaoh answer of peace." How courageous Joseph is in front of the greatest monarch on the earth at that time, that man that held his life in his hands. And
Joseph, you see him, you see his heart. His heart is nothing for self, but he longs to live for the glory and for the honor of God. He gives glory to God. Is that you? Is that your life? Is that my life? That's the life of Joseph. And Joseph there before that great monarch speaks and gives glory to God. And then Pharaoh proceeds to tell Joseph about the dreams. Remember what those dreams are about, children, teenagers? Seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. And those seven skinny cows ate the seven fat cows. And those seven skinny ears of corn ate the seven fat ears of corn. And what happened? You would say, of course, those skinny cows, those skinny ears would become fat. But they don't. They remain very skinny. Joseph listens. He hears Pharaoh explain those two dreams. And he gives Pharaoh the meaning that God had given him insight to. And he tells him simply, in my own words, Pharaoh, both dreams have the same meaning. The Lord is going to give 7 years of plenty. And then the Lord is going to give years of famine. There's going to come an extreme famine upon this earth. There's going to be a great famine, Pharaoh. And then we read how Joseph gave Pharaoh advice. Pharaoh listens. And he feels in his heart, this man before me is telling the truth. This is true. And he says in verse 38, can we find such a one as this? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And then we know what happened. Joseph was exalted to be the second ruler of all Egypt. The dreams that the Lord had given Joseph have come true. Come true. The Lord fulfilled his word. We see the faithfulness of God also in this history. And faith will be tried. The Lord speaks. And we are called to wait upon his word, looking to him to fulfill. But when it goes backwards and against our flesh, what a trial. What a trial of faith. What lessons. And the Lord does that. To strip us of everything of self, that when he does answer, we only have one response, all to the glory of God. What instruction has the Lord spoken to you, especially you recipients of God's grace? Has he given you a word? Have you read his word and it's the Lord spoke to you? You know it. He was speaking to you a promise. Instruction for you also. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord in the times of lightness, but also in the times of darkness. And so Joseph is exalted. He's 30 years old. And when did the Lord Jesus Christ begin his ministry? He began his ministry when he was 30 years old. And now, the dreams that Pharaoh had have become a reality. There was 7 years of plenteous, and then there came a time of a great famine, as we read in verses 53 and 54. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So there came a great famine. There came a great need in Egypt and in the lands, in the nations around them. And congregation, we do not understand what a famine is. We are so blessed. But have you ever seen pictures of children, especially with skinny arms, skinny legs, and swollen stomachs? And we look upon them and we automatically have pity because they are hungry. They're in a time of famine. There's a great need. Why is there famines? Why is there such great needs upon this earth? What is the reason for all misery, for death, for all the consequences of sin? What is the reason? Some answer with hard thoughts against God. And maybe we know better than to say this with our mouth, to share it with anybody else. But what's in your heart? What's your response when you have afflictions, famines in your life? Or when you see these things? Many answer, and I heard it myself, visiting inmates in prison or other people throughout this world. They have hard, critical thoughts of God. If God is love, why is there so misery? If God is so almighty, why doesn't he help all these people and feel them? Is that the right response? No, absolutely not. What should be the right response? Our guilt. We have brought the consequences of sin upon ourselves. Because of us, because of our sin. That is why there is famines. That is why there's many miseries upon this earth. It's our guilt. It's our sin. It should bring us in the dust. I think of the prodigal son. You know that parable, right? Did he lack anything in his father's house? He did not lack anything. He had an abundance. But he left his father's house and brought himself into a place of famine. And when the Lord renewed him, made him alive, when he came to himself, he thought back of the plenty in his father's house. A little picture, a little spiritual picture of you and me. In paradise, Adam and Eve never lacked anything. They had no consequences of sin at all because they were perfect and there was no sin. But they sinned. They turned their backs on God. They rebelled against him and left him, never to return. And because of that, because of forsaking God, we have plunged ourselves into misery. It's the consequences of sin. There's physical hunger. But there's another hunger, congregation, because this is not just about physical life. It's about spiritual life. There's another hunger. Because of leaving God, we have plunged ourselves into misery. But the greatest misery is that we live without God. Spiritual hunger, a famine. Excuse me. We are born without God. And may I ask you, maybe you've never experienced physical hunger. I don't think we have. I never had. Maybe a little hungry, but never a famine. But have you experienced, do you, are you experienced spiritual famine, a hunger in your heart and in your soul? Are you missing God? Are you missing the good doing God that you have left in paradise? Are you in a spiritual hunger, in a spiritual famine? Do you miss God? Has this become a reality in your life? What do hungry people do? I've seen them in my life, also in Bolivia. Hungry people, what do they do when they're starving? They will do anything to satisfy their hunger. They will do anything. They need food. They need to live. Otherwise, they will die. And we by nature, what do? We left the fountain of all good. That overflowing fountain of good, and we brought ourselves into a spiritual famine, into a place of death. What do we do? What do we read? We made ourselves hungry, but by nature, we do not seek God, and we do not find in him by nature, seeking in him, longing for him. We do not seek God. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's you and me. And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We're all in a spiritual famine because we left God. But for some of us, we are just completely satisfied. There is no hunger. There is no urgency. Or has it changed in your life by God's grace? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Did you come to church this morning with a thirst? Could you understand Psalter 1:14? My heart thirsts for the living God. When shall I come to see him? Are you a perishing sinner with hunger? These people were in a great famine. And we read in verse 55, the people cried to Pharaoh, hungry, perishing people begin to cry. They begin to cry. They need to be fed. They become beggars. Beggars. Have you become a beggar? You say, well, I have plenty. Right, children? You have plenty in your home. You say, I don't ever beg. But I ask you again, have you become a beggar? What do I mean? Have you become a spiritual beggar with no rights, guilty, without God in this world, longing for Him, thirsting for Him, hungry for Him? Hungry for that only precious Lord God. Many confess today they're Christians. But when you ask them and you talk to them, you hear they've never ever become a beggar. That's strange. Really? Never become a beggar? Never become lost? Never become one without rights? Never become detestable in the sight of God and the Lord that you need mercy because you have no rights? God works in the hearts of sinners and they become beggars with no rights. But are you in a spiritual famine as you are? But are you still comfortable? Still trying to please yourself with all the things of the world? Or has it become different by God's grace that you cannot satisfy yourself with anything of the world and you cannot satisfy also with all the experience that God even works in your life? That you come as a hungry, lost sinner and your heart is explained, as David says in Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. May I ask you again, are you a spiritually hungry, poor, lost, perishing beggar? We read in this chapter, in 42, that they begin to cry to Pharaoh. And we read also further in 42 that Jacob sent his sons to Egypt. Chapter 42, verse 2, get you down and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. They become beggars and they become active. They become seeking. They become willing to do much, those spiritual beggars, because their soul needs to be satisfied. Jacob is a picture. He's not only a child of God, but he's also and his sons going to Egypt because they heard there's bread there. It's a picture of a spiritual people who cannot find any more food in all that they have. It's become a famine, and they hear there's bread somewhere. They need bread. They need bread for their soul. And they become active, they become seeking, they become looking, they become beggars. They need food for their soul. And they know nothing of this world can satisfy anymore. What's in their hearts? They long for communion with God. They long for favor with God. And they learn that from their side, it's all cut off. There is no way back from their side to God. And they become beggars. They come to a place, what place? What place do they come? That they die in their misery? No. The Lord teaches them of their misery to lead to what? To deliverance. The law is a schoolmaster to bring unto Christ. Those spiritual beggars are brought to a place. In their famine, with nothing in self, what place? What is that only place that can satisfy their soul? What do they begin to hunger for? What do they begin to long for? For bread. For bread that truly satisfies. Congregation, what is that bread? No, who is the bread? Who is that bread that satisfies soul? Who is that bread that your sad soul hungers for? Church of God, recipients of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Lord leads his people to a place that without him, the bread of life, I perish. And they come to the place, I must have bread. No, not just any bread. Everything else becomes not bread, but one person, that precious Savior, that comes to the place, Give me Jesus or I die. Is this your life? Spiritual famine, hunger, thirst, can't find anything in anything else anymore, but it's only in one. Has the Lord led you to that only place that you come as a beggar and that you need Him, that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And these people in that time, they begin to cry. They cry unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has one message. Go to Joseph. Go to Joseph in a time of famine. Imagine the population. All those Egyptians and all those people around in those nations surrounding Egypt. All those hungry people, because there was a famine in all the land. Is there going to be enough for them all? Is there going to be sufficient for all those people, for all those with that physical hunger? But I have another question. Is there enough for perishing sinners today? Is that your question? Did you come hungry? Could there be just a little crumb for me this morning? A little crumb would be a wonder. But you come as an unworthy, lost, guilty sinner with a question in your heart. Would there be bread for me? Can there be bread for me? Such an old sinner, a hard sinner, a wicked sinner, a sinner so wicked. Could there be bread? Could there be something? Could there be a crumb for my soul, for such a horrible one? And so we come to our second thought. Go to Joseph when? In a time of famine. And now our second thought. Go to Joseph. Why? Because he has abundance. Is there abundance for all those people in Egypt and all those surrounding nations in Egypt? And that second question, is there an abundance for hungry, perishing, dying sinners who can find nothing else? Is there? We will answer both questions from the Word of God. First, that first question. Is there sufficient in the land of Egypt for those people? And in this chapter, there's phrases to express an abundance for all those people with a physical famine. What do we read in verse 47? Look in your Bible. In Genesis 47, 41 verse 47, and we read, and in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. There's an abundance. Verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. Children, can you count sand? You say that's impossible. It's an expression to show that there is an absolute abundance for all those physical starving people. There's an abundance. Verse 49, we read, very much. There is an abundance. But then also in verse 49, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And the Egyptians were what we would say today, excellent accountants. They could number and tally things. They were excellent in mathematics, but even those Egyptians could not number all the abundance in the time of this great famine. So go to Joseph because there is an abundance. But now that second question for poor, needy, perishing sinners, is there sufficient in that Savior for such a wretched sinner as me? What must I tell you this morning, congregation? What must I tell you from the Word of God? Because the Word of God is the rule. The Word of God is the foundation. I must say, thus saith the Lord. Listen, I will mention six different phrases, texts, that you may hear this morning, poor sinner, that there's an abundance in Him. Listen, Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. There's an abundance. There's an abundance through Him because of His blood. Riches of His grace. There's an abundance. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. There's an abundance. abundance. There's an abundance of mercy for the most vile sinner, the hardest sinner, the most wicked sinner. Ephesians 2 verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Poor needy sinner, there is an abundance in that greater Joseph, Jesus Christ. You want to hear another one? 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Did you hear it? And the hearing of the word is the means to work faith in the hearts of sinners. That's why we preach the word. That's why we quote the word, because it's not my word, it's the word of God. And that's my prayer, that through the word you become a lost sinner, you see your famine, but also that you hear of the abundance that is in Jesus Christ. And remember that text we quoted in Romans 5 verse 20 on Wednesday even? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I hope you see it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that in God, through his beloved Son, there's an abundance. There's an abundance of grace. There's an abundance of righteousness. There's an abundance of blood that can cover the greatest mountain of all sin. Do you delight to hear this? Do you delight to hear this? By God's grace, sinners love to hear the abundance. Because why? Because they don't get better, they get worse. It never becomes old news. They want to hear it again and again, and they love to hear it to the day of their death. What should I tell you today? That there was abundance? No. The word of God says there is abundance. There is abundance. Remember Wednesday night, Psalm 130? There is plenteous attempts. It doesn't say there was past, no congregation. Poor needy sinners, wretched sinners, starving to death. There is an abundance in him. And because there's an abundance, he invites sincerely, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's an abundance for those with the greatest burdens of sin. Why are there so many expressions in the time that they could hear in Egypt so that the people would be drawn to come to Joseph for food? But why are there so many expressions? And I only mentioned a few. There's many more. Why? Why does the Lord proclaim by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there's an abundance to draw those poor, needy, hungry, unworthy ones to come and to eat? The Lord repeats things to make an emphasis and to capture our attention. There is no insufficiency in Joseph in that time that any sinner needed to die from starvation. And there is no insufficiency in that greater Joseph that any of you, dear congregation, that any of you would need to perish eternally. There's an abundance in him. And it's our guilt, it's our wickedness, it's our unbelief. But he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and he even provides an abundance. What a wonder, what a mercy, what a grace. There is an abundance in that blood of that precious Savior to cleanse the chiefest of sinners. And there's infinite power in him to save the most helpless. You say, I'm getting older and harder. I'm still lost. He has the power. He has the grace to renew. You say, I'm so unrepentant. He has the grace to make you repentant. You say, I can only bring forth unbelief. He has the grace, an abundance of grace, that gift of faith to give you that faith and to blow upon it again and again, that it would not only be faith, but also that it would be an exercise, that you would look away from self and look to him, that greater that is in Joseph, that has an abundance for the chiefest of sinners. There is an infinite compassion in that triune God for wretched sinners. No Egyptian, No Egyptian or any in those surrounding cities needed to perish, to starve for death because there was a lack. And no sinner will ever perish because, and I say it with much reverence, because of an insufficiency or because there's not an abundance of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to how the canons of Dort expressed it. The death of Christ is abundantly sufficient to expiate the sins of the whole world. May that come with power, the word of God, that there's an abundance that may come into your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit, that hope may be born, that faith may be given in Him. But that will be away from dying in self, lost in self, and only finding everything in Him. There was an abundance. Go to Joseph because there is abundance. And congregation, I must tell you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I pray that my soul is more and more constrained by the love of Christ for your perishing soul, because I need to give an account one day, and I must tell you from the word of God, there's an abundance, and He invites. And I must tell you, His arms are open to receive the most vile of sinners. Oh, may that become such a wonder that it breaks your heart. There's an abundance. And those people received a command. Go to Joseph. Is there a command for us today? Well, let's first sing from Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2. 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders He hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to His cause have brought. In His love and tender mercy He hath made salvation known. In the sight of every nation He His righteousness hath shown. 261, stanzas 1 and 2.
go to Joseph. When? In a time of famine. Why? Because he had abundance. And now, how? In obedience to the command. Pharaoh said to those people that cried to him, go to Joseph. Pharaoh called Joseph the great Zaphpathaneah, the one who has bread. And there's different interpretations. And one is the savior of the world. Joseph was a physical savior of that physical hunger at that time. And he had bread in abundance in his storehouse for all that came to him. But my friend, we need someone greater than a man. We need someone greater than Joseph, that sinner. We need one who can not only help us with all our needs for this life, but we need one who can help us for our soul. We need one who can help us with our spiritual needs. Who can help? Is there one greater than Joseph? Yes, there is. Is there one who can help us with all our spiritual needs? Yes. What's his name? He also has a beautiful name. What is his name, children? What was he called? That babe that was laying in the manger. What did his mom, Mary, need to call him? What was Joseph called to call his son? The son that was born of his dear wife. His name is Jesus. We meditated on that for a few moments with the male members. Jesus. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He will save people from their spiritual famine. He's that greater Joseph, that almighty one. There's no other name that I must tell you. Open your Bible to Acts 4, verse 12. There's only one name that I must proclaim to you that gives hope for perishing sinners. Acts 4, verse 12. Of that only name given among men, listen. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Joseph was exalted by Pharaoh over all Egypt. But God the Father has exalted his son, that greater Joseph, over all the world. He was exalted to the highest, as we read in Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. He was exalted by God the Father, and that all should bow the knee to him. But now a question. Many bowed to Joseph when he went in his chariot, and the call was bow the knee. But may I ask you, have you ever bowed the knee? Has your heart ever bowed? Has your heart surrendered as a hungry, thirsty, guilty, lost, perishing sinner? At his feet, looking up to him, needing him as the prophet, the priest, and king, bowing your knee to him, longing him to be the Lord and the Savior in your life, that you need everything from him, and that without him you will only perish. Pharaoh commanded the people to go to the exalted Joseph. Go unto Joseph, and what he saith to you do. And obedience to the command, the people went to Joseph. You could see them going through the streets, coming to Joseph, begging him for food. And then you could see Joseph giving instructions. Go to this street. Go to that place. There's a storehouse. There's an abundance. And there, go and tell them Joseph sent. Go there for the abundance for your family so that you can have food and that you would not perish. And if the people refused to even go to Joseph, and if they refused to listen to the instruction, they would die from starvation in that great famine. The Egyptians received a command and instructions on how to live in the time of the great famine. But now the question for you and me. There's a spiritual famine. No, not a physical famine. There's a spiritual famine. We plunged ourselves into that spiritual famine by rebelling and forsaking God forever, never to turn back. Is there a command for such wicked, rebellious sinners? Yes, there is.
Is there a command for thirsty, perishing sinners this morning from the Word of God? Yes, there is. And it's not my command. It's God has a command. No, God the Father. God the Father has a command. Open your Bible to Matthew 17, verse 5. God, the Almighty God, that we have sinned against and offended to his heart, has a command. Matthew 17, verse 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God the Father. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph and hear him. Listen to his instructions. But God the Father, he gives instruction of his Son to hear him. Pharaoh said, what Joseph tells you to do, do. But God the Father says, hear him. Listen to his instruction. Is there instruction? Is there a command for sinners today? Yes, listen. Are you living in sin? Is that you? Are you living in sin in the world still? There's a command. What's the command? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say when he began to preach? Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the instruction. That's the command. Repent you and believe. You say you can't say that, Pastor. You can't command anyone. Yes, I must. And in the canons of Dort, they say it so clearly. Preach the promise of the gospel together with the command to repent and believe, that those that repent and believe shall have eternal life. My friend, what are you trying to fill your heart with? We're all hungry. We're all thirsty. There's an emptiness because we left God. But what are you trying to fill it with? Are you still trying to fill it in a very religious way? Like a Pharisee feeling better and better and smug? Or are you trying to fill it with all the things of the world? Listen to the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit you? If you shall gain the whole world and lose your soul, soul lost, all lost, my friend. Did you hear the instruction? Or do you have curious questions about the sovereignty of God? How many are elect? Who are the elect? Or how are the elect? Am I one of the elect? Is that your question? Trying to pry into the secret things of God? The Lord Jesus Christ has instruction, because remember that one man came and asked that question, Lord, are there few that be saved? The Lord gave him instruction, and that's instruction for you and me also this morning. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Are there some trembling, poor, needy sinners? Hungry, thirsty, lost? Are you trembling? Would he ever receive me? I'm so wicked. I'm so hard. I'm so cold. I did so many sins. So many sins. The Lord Jesus Christ also has instruction. Yes, he has an invitation. Isaiah 55 verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. What a wonder. What an absolute wonder. It all comes from God. And what did Augustine do with the command? You may do that too. Lord, what thou commands, give. Turn it back to the Lord, I say reverently. Now don't excuse yourself. May you become guilty. But may you be like Augustine, as a lost beggar at his feet. Lord, what thou commands, give. I can't give myself any of this. I heard it, I need it. But I can't even come. Give me feet, give me hands, give me eyes, give me everything, Lord, or I'm lost. God the Father commands to listen to his Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives instruction to us also this morning, and much more in the Word. And those people that refused to listen to Pharaoh, refused to listen to Joseph, what happened? They died. And you, my friend, if you continue in your sin, you will perish. You will perish in your unbelief. We read in Hebrews 2 verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, such an abundance and no hunger, such an abundance and never a beggar? That's our guilt. I was walking past the Tilsonburg Cemetery the other day, and I looked over, and I saw hundreds, maybe there's thousands of people buried there. And I thought, I wonder how many of them are in glory, and I wonder how many of them are lost. But then I had another thought. I wonder how many of them that are buried there never heard the gospel that you have heard, perished, but something else. I wonder how many of them heard and neglected and lost. What a situation. What a guilt. Our guilt. It's beautiful to see how Pharaoh, to all those beggars cried to him, had instruction to go to Joseph, who was ever hungry, and came to Joseph. He opened the storehouses and he fed them. He fed them. We may know that. Is not this a wonderful, beautiful history to show the abundance of grace of God through his Son? Is it not a beautiful history to show the beauties of him who's greater than Joseph? And any poor beggar that comes to him with the smallest face, the trembling face, creeping and crawling, sighing and begging, yet looking to him, he will supply. Why? Because it's his work. That's where they come to. Listen to what he said in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a wonder. But there's something so different in this history. Many beauties, and I've only mentioned a few. A little of the life of grace, and a few beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to Joseph, the greater Joseph. But there's something so different. It's a comfort. What is it? Well, that famine came. And then they had to come to him and they had to buy food. And they gave Joseph money. And then when they had no money, what did they do? They starved to death? No, they came to him and they brought their animals to him to sell their animals. But the famine continued. And they had no food. What did those people do? Then they came and they gave him the land. They gave their land to Joseph. And then the famine still continued. And they had no money, no possessions, nothing left. Did they die? No. They were willing to become slaves. They became slaves to Pharaoh. But what an absolute difference in the greater Joseph. Because, may I ask, are there those here this morning have no more money left? No more money? What do I mean? No, not physical money. But spiritual money. You can't present anything to the Lord anymore. It's all been taken away. It's all sin. It's all filthy rags, just lost. You can't present to him your tears. You can't present to him your church attendance. You can't present how you dress. You can't present anything to him because it's all sin. Can they still receive those poor beggars? Can they still receive, is that you? Just a poor beggar with nothing? Yes. And to come to him to try to pay is such an offense. But that's our proud hearts. We have to learn, like those brothers of Joseph. They came with money and they received it all back in their sacks. Why? Because he has everything. And he loves to give. Free grace upon free grace. What lessons? We can say it, we can confess it, but really, really to live in it. As a poor beggar, ungodly and having nothing, and yet with that poor hand reaching out, no, not taking, but as a beggar, lost. Lord, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Maybe you can't even cry anymore. Is that you? So lost? And the voice is speaking, there's no hope no more. You're too great. You're just lost. So hard. So many years rejecting it. You think he'll hear you now? What a wonder. He says, and we'll end with that verse. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Oh, everyone that thirsts. Is that you? Now listen. Come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, is that you? Nothing left anymore? That's humbling. It's a good place to be, congregation. A good place. And that's where the Lord brings his people. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. No payment, only to receive, because he has paid for everything. The storehouses of Joseph are all gone. Children, there is no more storehouses in Egypt. It's all gone. It's all closed. No more bread. But there's another door that's open. And there still is such an abundance. Make haste for your life's sake and cry to him. And what he commands, be like Augustine. Lord, have mercy. Please give. Amen. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, what wonders of free and sovereign grace. We have left thee never to return. We have plunged ourselves into death, and we would remain and starve to eternal death. But because of thy free and sovereign grace, thou wilt seek, thou wilt save, thou wilt renew and show our spiritual death and famine, and make hungry and make thirsty, and lead to him who has water and who has bread in abundance. Thou hast provided it all. O Lord, teach us by free grace and free grace alone. O, we beg thee, Lord, may it all have been directed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that this morning that there may be food for poor sinners, that thy name would be glorified, and that poor sinners would be comforted with thyself through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We may acknowledge thee for thy precious word, for this time together, and for thy help, for without thee we can do nothing. Remember the elders when they will teach catechism. Remember the students and bless those means. Keep us in this day. Bring us again together tonight, if it is in thy will, and give opening to preach of the wonders of thy grace, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let's sing in closing from Psalter 431, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. 431, 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing. This my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Psalter 431, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Thank you.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.